Well, a highly relevant first lesson from 2 Samuel this morning. I feel a great sympathy with Mephibosheth. He was lame in the feet. Therefore, it's rather more of a test of your perception for you to imagine that you see before you a pale, pious youth of 20 approaching the door of Pusey House for the first time 40 years ago. I was coming to dine at the common table here at Pusey House to meet Canon Cheslin Jones, the principal. At that time, 14 young men lodged in the house in a measure of community with the three priests on the staff. I was told that I might get a room if I could think of a good name for the pudding in whichever language Canon Jones proposed. I failed miserably. But I was awarded a room nonetheless for having read a biography of Archbishop Garbutt of York, which Father Jones thought to be a precocious and eccentric accomplishment. However, Pusey House was very poor back then. I mean, it's not rich now, so please give generously. But was very poor back then, and so my accomplishment only earned me the poorest room with a broken fire and a spring sticking through the mattress. We survived on a lot of stuffed peppers and very little meat. But whatever the privations, I rejoice over the 2 years that I spent here as a resident and as a server. On the Pusey website, Sir John Betjeman is quoted as having been taught the Catholic faith here at Pusey House. Well, I was already on the way as one of Bishop Geoffrey Rowe's charges at Keble, but here was rich reinforcement. In the previous 2 years, I'd explored churches around the city, but once I discovered Pusey, the rhythm of the daily office and Mass and the Sunday celebration was all I needed apart from the College Eucharist. What we celebrated then and celebrate now is the real presence of Christ in our midst. God himself in bread and wine, ever giving himself for the world. We revere this most holy sacrament as a source of blessing, life, joy, protection, and peace. I spent many hours in the chapel during exposition of the sacrament, gazing in wonder and adoration, not as a passive observer, but to be drawn more deeply into the intimate relationship with Christ, the living bread who has come down from heaven, who gives as bread his own flesh for the life of the world. Many churches will be keeping the solemnity of Corpus Christi today, and this is not primarily about recalling an historic event in the life of the church or in the life of Christ. I preached at the first celebration of Corpus Christi in Durham Cathedral after the Reformation. The celebrant said, the preacher on the occasion of the first celebration of Corpus Christi was St. Thomas Aquinas. This evening, it's Stephen Conway. What we're celebrating is the uniting of our worship with that of the church in heaven. In this great sacrament, we have a foretaste of heaven, a pledge of future glory given to us now. In earthly matter, we meet heavenly reality. And for Aquinas, to reflect on the Eucharist was to reflect on the Church. It is, he said, a sacrament of the Church's unity. That the Eucharist has so often been a cause of division and the altar a place of disunity is both sin and sadness. To do what we are doing this morning is to say something about what it means to be Eucharistic people, to be a church at the heart of whose devotion is thanksgiving, is response to Christ's ever-giving, ever-given gift of himself for us. It is to be people who live in response to that abundant generosity, spilling over with the love of God for us. And even the invitation to me to preach today is a sign of the ongoing commitment of Pusey House to be a place which seeks the truth with generosity and love. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Father Darbal Stone, third principal at Pusey House, whose greatest work was his History of the Doctrine of the Eucharist, was renowned not only for the clarity of his principles, but also for his kindness and courtesy towards his theological opponents. Rigour, courtesy, and welcome are a good measure of the vision of Pusey House with regard to the reopening of the library to scholars and readers. I'm thrilled about this. I believe there is a unique international resource here for the promotion of the Catholic faith. The Tractarians who are commemorated here were rooted in the belief summed up in the motto of the house, "Our God is a God of knowledge." At a time of retreat from theology into religious study as sociology and psychology, and in particular retreat from the study of the fathers, it is timely that Pusey asserts the importance of contemplative learning and robust apologetics in the culture of Oxford and beyond. And that same rigour and courtesy and welcome apply to the apostolic calling not only to teach but to tell. Catholics of any colour in the Church of England at the moment do not have a great reputation for passion for evangelism. This is partly a matter of language and theology not understood by evangelicals, who don't understand that faith in the Incarnation and living that in the world is the best platform for evangelism. Nor do people understand the necessary connection between evangelism and ecclesiology. What are we inviting people to join? The theme studies which Pusey offers is a good resource, but we need to redouble our efforts. Pusey House was founded partly in response to an expectation that the Church of England would be disestablished, college chapels would disappear, and therefore Catholic worship and evangelism among students would be the remit of this house. Disestablishment is less an immediate threat than the withering of commitment of colleges to chaplaincy. Dr. Lytton's greatest fear was a vexatious pluralism of ideas about faith rather than rampant unbelief. Well, we face both. But the greatest hope is in the reaching out to those who long to believe and long to find their true identity in Christ. When I was a student here, I was sent off to the Oxford Borstal camps, where students went camping with young men due for release from youth custody centres. We all had to find a way of sharing the faith with people, and I discovered a very good ruse, which was to write love letters to the young men's girlfriends. This got their attention very clearly. It was said of Canon Stone, Darbal Stone's predecessor, Father Stucky Coles, that he had an amused understanding of young men. I was MC here when Bishop Michael Ramsay came to preach. He was rather wobbly on his feet, and I was instructed to be ready to catch him. He overheard this instruction and mischievously swayed dramatically all the way through his sermon. And I apparently swayed with him. It's at this Vigilium too, I remember. After Mass, I asked him if it was proper to love oneself. He pondered with much waggling of mighty eyebrows and said, "Bernard, Bernard, Bernard." I said, no, my name is Stephen. He said, no, Bernard of Clairvaux. Tells us to love ourselves. As he left, he twinkled at me and said, "Goodbye, Bernard." I have no doubt that Pusey House under Father George's care is a community of love in which young women and young men are understood and with appropriate detachment and some kindly amusement. It was here that I made my first confession in the chapel behind us. And I'm very relieved to see that the confessional is in exactly the same place. After I received absolution, I burst into tears of freedom and joy, and then apologized to Canon Jones. He replied that it was quite usual, but would I please not weep over that precious breviary? Well, I trust that Pusey is still a centre for spiritual direction, and even more importantly, a place where people are drawn to live out their baptismal life by availing themselves of the sacrament of reconciliation. It's wonderful that Pusey is a horizontal community of mutual love and laughter and respect. But it is also a place that proclaims that we are part of a supernatural society, living the promise of God's peace and freedom in heaven in ordinary now. And at this time, we need to be courageous and eloquent as those who defend the sacrament and the absolute character of the seal of the confessional. Anglicans, we say, that the use of the sacrament may be is that all may, none must, and some should. At the moment, all of us need to be united in preventing a right passion for safeguarding from overturning a fundamental basis of our claim to be Catholic. It is the absolute confidentiality of the sacrament which alone provides a safety for some to confront the dreadful abuse that they have endured. When I lived here, I'm sorry, Father, we students thought the clergy were a bit mad. There was a chaplain to graduates who was too shy to speak. In compensation, his successor never stopped speaking. The priest librarian cultivated a rather baroque dress code. On one occasion, I met him and Canon Jones converging on the door of the house on St. Giles. "Ah," said Cheslin, "trying to be an Oxford eccentric." The librarian had no chance in the face of the real thing. But one way and another, we as students saw priests at three different tables: at the altar, at meals, in the common room, and had modelled for us the glory and the human vulnerability of the priesthood. It was while I was being nurtured at Pusey that I went to the Jurassic version of the bishop's advisory panel, and here we are. And I know and trust that Pusey continues to be a focus for vocational conversation and formation to the priesthood, the religious life, and the lay apostolate. And I applaud this, particularly as a partnership with college chaplains. I don't remember the door of Pusey House ever being locked. We had interesting visitors, many of them street homeless people and patients from the Warnford Hospital. Lunch after Sunday Mass was served in the hood room and was more than half consumed by the time that students got there. We residents shared generous bathroom facilities, and although the house was poor, there was never a shortage of hot water. It vexed Canon Jones not that tramps came in for regular baths, but that they listened to Radio 2. The rich man in Jesus' parable accepted the poverty and isolation of Lazarus as just part of the human landscape. He knew Lazarus by name, but did nothing to change his circumstances. He did not assault or abuse the poor. He did nothing. That was his crime and his damnation for having forgotten Lazarus as though he were already dead. When we gather as the church to celebrate the Eucharist, we gather to give thanks. It is our duty and our joy. It is a foretaste of heaven, the promise of glory, heavenly food in the ever so ordinary stuff of our daily life. Some of you will be familiar with a paper written by Frank Weston, the Bishop of Zanzibar, delivered to the Second Anglo-Catholic Congress in 1923, called Our Present Duty, in which he discussed the presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament. He said, "The one great thing that England needs to learn is that Christ is found in and amid matter, spirit through matter, God in flesh, God in sacrament. But I say to you, and I say it to you with all the earnestness that I have, that if you are prepared to fight for the right of adoring Jesus in his blessed sacrament, then you have got to come out from before your tabernacle and walk with Christ mystically present in you out in the streets of this country and find the same Jesus in the people of your cities and your villages. You cannot claim to worship Jesus in the tabernacle if you did not pity Jesus in the slum. I pray that Pusey House is a springboard for many activities which promote justice and welfare without forgetting or objectifying. We walk with Christ present with us in the sacrament, not only for our own devotion, not only for the fun and joy of the liturgy, but to witness to Christ amid the matter of this city of Oxford and our lives, amid the joy and the struggle, the privilege and the poverty. And the bread that he gives is for the life of the whole of his world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.